Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nozer Daf Lamed Hey. We're already halfway down the Omud Aleph of Lamed Hey Omud Aleph, and we're starting from the words Rabbi Elazar, which is found in the middle of the Tosos Shnei Chartzanim, about halfway down the Daf, a little bit more. And it's going to be a relatively short share today because we're going to stop on the bottom of Lamed Hey Omud Beis because that's starting of a new sugya. And Daf Lamed Vav itself is relatively short, so be a short share today, but be Hashem an interesting share. So we begin and ask an interesting question. Rabbi Elazar was of the opinion yesterday that said he darshins miut v'ribui. He uses that Durosha system. So the Gemara questions, and he doesn't use the klalu prat system? Rabbi Elazar, the dorish miut v'ribu, pratu klalu prat minole. Doesn't he use that system as well? So granted, you're using our drush over here from Nazir to teach us that he uses the ribui miyat system, but he also uses the prat uklal uprat system. So where do we see from Rabbi Elazar that he uses that system? Now, Tosos in Dibur HaMaskul, Rabbi Elazar de Dorish says an interesting question. He says maybe he doesn't hold from it. V'im tomar v'duma lesle hamida, and the Hagos Runsberg says that we add the word zu, that maybe he doesn't hold from the prat uklal system. He's 100% ribui miut drasha system. So maybe he doesn't hold from it. V'duma lesle hamida zu bishom makom ki hechid rabbanu lo darshi miut ribu. After all, the chachamim, they're pure Pratu klal drushos. They don't hold from the ribui miyut. So maybe, just like the Rabbanon, the Chachamim only hold pratu klal, maybe Rabbi Elazar only holds ribui miyut, and he doesn't hold the pratu klal system. And the Rosh adds as well, in Dibur HaMaskul of Rabbi Elazar, the Dorish ribui miyut, pratu klal uprat minole. So the Rosh says, you might have thought that he darshens throughout the Torah only the ribui miyut system. V'savar, but he's coming to teach us the klal upratu klal eino mido b'torah, and he therefore says, I disagree with that way of darshening. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us, v'aminon to lo dorish nami prat uklal uprat. You might have thought he doesn't darshen that system at all. So therefore, the Gemara has to tell us, no, where do we see that he does darshen both systems? In our case of Nazir, Bedavka, he uses ribui miyut ribui. Tosos, in that same Dibur HaMaskul that we started before, Rabbi Elazar, goes through details as to why he uses this over here. But in general, he also uses the prat uklal methodology. So where do we see that Rabbi Elazar uses the klal uprat methodology? And we'll have three different scenarios. The first one is from Rabbi Avohu. Amar Rabbi Avohu, nafka le, Rabbi Elazar darshens out prat uklal uprat mehaikra from the following pasuk. This pasuk deals with the Shomer Sochar, and the pasuk tells us that if a person, ki yitein ish el reyehu, if a person goes and gives to his friend a chamor, oshor, oseh, and he gives him any one of these animals, they're all metaltalim, he gives him an animal, either a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any behema, lishmar, and then umes, onishbar, onishba, and then something happens to this person's animal while the Shomer Sochar is watching it. It either dies, or it breaks, or it's taken in captivity. Somebody takes it, ein roeh, and he didn't see it. And what is the din in this case for the Shomer Sochar? What is he chayev to pay or not pay? So Rabbi Avohu says that the Tana Rabbi Elazar would darshan this as a prat uklal uprat. And he says, when the pasuk starts off and it says, ki yitain ish areyehu chamor oshar oseh, it really isn't v'chi yitain, it's ki yitain ish areyehu chamor oshar oseh v'chol b'mol lishmor. So he says, that is the words, chamor oshar oseh is a prat. Those are specific animals, a chamor, a shor, or a set. And then it goes and generalizes it when it says, v'chol behemol lishmar, so that's a klal. So we've gone from starting off with a prat, chamor, shor, and set, going to a klal behema, v'chol behema, that's the klal, and then it goes back to a prat, lishmar, saying chazar upara. That is a specification over here that he's going to watch specific animals. As the Mefarish explains over here, without this last prat, I would have said that even includes, in Dibur HaMaskul ki yitein ish, I would have said vafilu dubim va'arayos. I would have said that includes even bears and lions. because it said behema, so that would include everything. So the word lishmar is chazar uparat, only animals that can be watched. Iatadon elokein haprat, so it teaches us only like the other prat that we had, dahani prato basra lemide devar shmira, to come to include only things that can be watched, and not a lion or a bear, which can't be watched. The hubin b'arayos, the lav b'nei shmirininu, she'en lehem tarbus. They're not domesticated. They're not animals that normally a person has as pets. So therefore, they're excluded with this second prat that we have, lishmar. So therefore, the Gemara tells us, this is Rabbi Avo's explanation, where the Tana Rabbi Elazar learns out, prat uklal uprat. So here you have prat uklal uprat, and yatadon elokeinah prat. And these two pratim qualify what is included in this din. So here's an example where the Tana Rabbi Elazar does also utilize the prat uklal uprat methodology. So that's Rabbi Avo. Rav has a different pasuk. Rav Amar comes from the following pasuk. Mavkulei mehaikra. We are pasuk very towards the beginning of Vayikra, Perik Aleph Pasuk Yud, and it tells us in Min Hatzon Korbanot. This is talking about a person wanting to bring a korban ola, and if he wants to bring it from his tzon, tzon is flock, which is goats or sheep. The Min Hatzon Korbanot, and then it adds Min Hakvosim O Min Oizim, from the sheep or from the goats. And he wants to bring that le'ola as a korban ola. And then it says, Zohar tomim yakrivenu. He shall bring, for this korban ola, it has to be from a tomim animal, an animal without a blemish, and it has to be a zohar. So this pasuk, Rava tells us, is the source for the Tana Rabbi Elazar's learning out prat uklal uprat. How is that? Rav Amar, Navkalei mehaikra, in the following way. The pasuk starts off and says, v'im min. So that's a prat. It means some. Min means some, but not all of those animals. So when it says v'im min hatzon, so that it tells you only some, but the word tzon is a general term, klal, that includes goats and sheep. But then it comes to give us another prat, kvosim v'izim chazer upara. It comes to now specify it again. So therefore, this is an example of prat uklal uprat, to come teach us yatadon elekena prat. The type of carbon that you're allowed to bring over here has to be something that is included in the goat and sheep family. It has to be male, and it has to be without a blemish. Now, the obvious question is, it already said that when it started off talking about tzon, so what exactly is being mefired over here by telling us kfasim and izim? So this is addressed by a number of the mefarshim, so let's look inside in the Rush. He says, the mashma over here, miktsas tzon v'lo kol tzon. So with the word im min hatzon tells us only some tzon. La fuke, to exclude tzon that were roveya v'nirba, the rachmona litzlan, had been participants either actively or passively in an act of bestiality, which is of course an iser of Mises Beistin of Skila. V'yesh b'mashma, and I might have thought therefore that should include not only animals that were unfortunately involved in bestiality, afilu, I would have said choresh b'shor u'b'chamor, if somebody even plowed with a shor and a chamor together, or he made it to animals that weren't supposed to be mated together, so where this was nevdo bohen aveira, and aveira was done to them, so I might have thought that those two also would be included in this prohibition against bringing them as a carbon. So therefore, the extra prat at the end tells us, no, only if it was a nirba or roveya situation are they excluded, but not if another aveira was done to them. So this is Rava's explanation for how the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, learns out the prat uklal uprat system. On this, however, since this was Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud, there was an earlier Pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda mi discarta asked Rava, why did you wait till Pasuk Yud to give you a drasha? You could have used Pasuk Beis in the very first Perek of Vayikra. So that's what Amalei Rabbi Yehuda mi discarta asked LeRava. He says, why did you go to Pasuk Yud? The Lelef min Hadain Kra, you could have gone from Pasuk Beis. What did Pasuk Beis say? That says, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban la'Hashem. The person wants to bring a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brings it min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, u-min ha-tzon, takriv u-es korban chem. Now, why isn't this also a source of prat uklal prat? That's an earlier pasuk that you should have chosen, Rava, this pasuk, rather than pasuk yud, which is the pasuk that you chose. Now, what's the prat uklal uprat over here that Rav Yehuda midiskarta says Rava should have used? He says, Lelef min hadein kra, you should have learned that from this pasuk. The word min, we started off, Odom kiakriv mikem korban lashem min habehema. So the word min is a prat. As we said, the mem always means some of, but not all of. So min habehema, min is the prat. Habehema is a cloud. That means all animals. And then it says specifically, no, bakar v'tzon, the cattle and the tzon, the sheep and the goat families. So chazer v'parat, that extra word, bakar v'tzon, is an additional prat. So we started off with min as a prat, then we had behema as a cloud, and then we have chazer uparat by saying the words bakar v'tzon. So we have prat uklal uprat. This should have been what the Tana Rabbi Elazar used as his source of a prat uklal uprat. Why didn't Rava give this source? Instead, Rava gave pasuk yud. So therefore, iatadon elakena prat. This should have been the source. So why didn't Rava like this? Because Rava tells Rabbi Yehuda midiskarta amalei. He says, no, minhai, from pasuk beis, this pasuk that we just brought down, you can't learn out prat uklal uprat. Why? You couldn't have learned this out because the imi hasam, if you wanted to use pasuk beis, habamina, I would have said that the word habehema, and we turn to lamed hey ami beis, I would have utilized the word habehema to teach me that chaya biklal behema. This would have come to include a chaya. The general term behema isn't only specific for the domesticated animals, the goat, sheep, and cow families, but it can also be used generically to include all the kosher animals, including the seven chayos. And therefore, I would have said that the word behema would have allowed to have a chaya included if you did this prat uklal uprat, and therefore, that's why I didn't come to include this as the drasha for the Tana, Rabbi Elazar. No, what are you doing this card to respond to that? So Amalei said, no. Chaya bichlal behema? Really? Would you have thought that this includes a chaya? Haksib, the pasuk tells us a bakar v'tzon. It specifically tells us only bakar and tzon, teaching us only domesticated animals, real behemos, and not kosher animals, the more generic term behema. And therefore, v'havalei pratu klal. No, I think this could have been an example for the Tana Rabbi Elazar to learn out prat uklal uprat from this pasuk. V'yatadon elakena prat, to come to teach us that when you have a prat uklal uprat, it tells us that you can bring anything that is like the prat, but not more general than that. So Rabbi Yehuda midiskarta disagrees with Rav and says, no, I think this pasuk could have been the source to teach us that Rabbi Elazar the Tana holds prat uklal uprat. Obviously, Rava disagrees. Okay, so we have two, or possibly three, like Rehuda midiskarta, sources for the Tana Rabbi Elazar to hold prat uklal uprat. Now, the Gemara asks an interesting question: uminalon dahachihu. How do we know that this concept of prat uklal uprat exists? And Tosos in Dibur Masul Uminolan tells us this is a kasha on the Rabbanon Shita, who hold Prat Uklal Uprat. A Rabbanon Koi, not on Rabbi Elazar. This goes on the opinion of the Chachamim, the Darshi La'el Klal Uprat Uklal. We know that they hold Klal Uprat Uklal. The Klal is first, followed by Prat, then a Klal. Umarbe, and we say that that has the same halacha, Umarbe Ke'ein HaPrat, and we teach us that that, when you have a klal first, then a prat, then a klal, it comes to be marbe, everything that's like the prat. So now what the Gemara is asking is, what is the difference between klal, uprat, uklal, and prat, uklal, uprat? Again, don't get mixed up over here. You start off with having a prat in the middle, or you start off with having the klal in the middle. They're both the same. So what's the difference between the two of them, essentially? The Kobay, Tosus continues, and says, that's what the Gemara is asking over here. Minolon demidazu batorah hainu lemedrash ke'ein haprat. How do we know that they both have similar end results? We'll see in the Gemara, it's not identical, but it's similar. And we'll dash it out from a famous pasuk by Maase Sheni, which is like the paradigm for learning out klal uprat uklal. And that comes up with the same answer there. You ultimately say it's ke'ein haprat. So what difference is there between prat uklal uprat and klal uprat uklal? Again, listen carefully to the distinction over here. One starts off with a prat, one starts off with a klal, then you have the opposite in the middle, and then you go back to the first thing at the end. So prat first, klal, then prat, or klal first, then prat, and then another klal. They're essentially the same. So how do we know that there is such a distinction between them? Uminolam dahachiyu. Where do we see that the chacham hold prat uklal uprat? The Tanya. So we learn it from the following brisa. The pasuk says, famous pasuk by Maaser Sheni. How can you use your Maisa Sheni funds? You had produce that was grown outside of Yerushalayim. You don't want to go and schlep all that produce up to Yerushalayim, so you go and redeem it. If it's your own produce, you redeem it for the face value, plus you add a chomesh, which is really a fourth of its value. A fifth from the outside, a fourth from the inside, and you bring up all those funds as Maaser Sheni funds to Yerushalayim, but you're only allowed to purchase certain things with those funds. You can't buy a suit in Yerushalayim with those funds. You can only purchase certain things. And the Pasuk tells us, V'nosata kesef b'chol asher te'ave nafshecha, ba'bakar uvatzon uvayayin uvashechar, all edible foods or drinkable items, but with anything that you want. So how do we darshan this? So the Gemara tells us from the following price of the Tanya. The first part of the pasuk, you will go and purchase whatever you want from your Maaser Sheni funds, so that's a klal. That tells you can do anything with it. But then it says, no, four specific pratim, babakar, uvatzon, uvayayin, uvashechar. You can buy karbanos, or even plain animals, babakar, cows, uvatzon, sheep and goats, uvayayin, wine, uvashechar, old wine. So, prat, that's a specification. You can only buy these things with your Maaser Sheni funds. But then the pasuk goes and generalizes again. It says, v'chol asher tish'olcho nafshecha, chazav kalal. So it goes and generalizes it again. So we have a general statement to start. We have four specific pratim, babakar, uvatzon, bayan, uvashechar, in the middle. And then we have a klal at the end again, v'chol asher tish'olcho nafshecha. So this is an example of klal, uprat, uklal. So the din is, yatodon elokena prat. Here too, you're darshing out this drush of klal uprat uklal to tell us ultimately you can only purchase with Maaser Sheni funds things that are like the prat, like bakar, tzon, yayin, and shechar. So what is that? Umaha prat meforosh, specifically the pratim are pri, mipri, there's something that comes from another animal or comes from a item, like the wine comes from a grape, it's pri, mipri, and vigidule karka, they're all sustained. Gidule karka doesn't mean they grow from the ground. It could mean that they grow from the ground, like the grapes, like the vine, but it also means they're sustained from the ground. The bakar and the tzon are sustained from the ground. They eat the grass. They're sustained from the ground. So too, anything, af, kol, pri, mipri, anything that comes from something else, the gidule karka, and is sustained by the ground, is also a something that you're allowed to go and use your Maaser Sheni funds to go and purchase. So, for example, the Rush tells us, what does this come to include? So he says, af kol, in the Rav Maskel af kol, the Rush says, lasui ofos, to include birds. You could buy chickens. Ulimute dogim, as opposed to fish, or water, umayim, or melach. As the Gemara tells us in Bakol Ma'arden, that these things aren't considered pri, mipri, and gidule karka. So birds would be allowed to be included. You could buy a bird with your Maaser Sheni funds, but you wouldn't be allowed to go buy fish or water or salt with your Maaser Sheni funds. Now, let's check this out. Michte. Klal upratu klal. This, first having the klal. We said, then we had the prat, babakar, batzon, bayan, v'shecher. And then we had another klal. Uvechol asher tish'olcho navshecho. So here we have klal upratu klal ke'ein proto dainina. So we ultimately say you can only purchase with the Maaser Sheni funds things that are like the prat, as we pointed out. Primi pri ugdule karka. So klal basra mayahani. What did the second klal add over here? Wouldn't we have known that by just having a klal and then a prat telling us it has to be like the prat? So Gemara says, no, you need the second klal to teach us ahane la'osufe called the domile. It came to add the ofos. It came to add anything that was also primi pri ugidule karka. We wouldn't have known that you could buy birds if we only had the klal and then the prat. So therefore, ahane la'osufe called the domile, to come to teach us anything like the prat. So Gemara says, so then fine. Vesu, prat uklal uprat. So then how is this any different than a prat uklal uprat, which we also said was ke'en ha'prat dayninon, which also teaches us it has to be something like the prat. So the prat of basra, in that situation, mayahane, you started off with a prat, you had one prat, then you had a klal. So why did you need the second prat over there? So the Gemara says, ila prat of basra, if you didn't have the second prat over there, I would have said that the klal that came in the middle, you started off with a prat, but then you had a klal. I would have said that klal in the middle, hava amino nasi klal mosof ala prat. It would have come to include many, many things other than the prat, so therefore you need the second prat to go back and minimize it to things that are only like the prat. So now the Gemara says, here's our question. You have klal uprat uklal. It tells you are darshing over here, kein aprat. but you also have prat uklal uprat that tells us we darshin it ke'ein haprat. So train klali uprata utrain prati uklala, whether you have two klals up front and at the end with a prat in between, or you have two pratim up front and at the end with a klal in between, the bottom line is klala ke'ein prata dainin. This comes to teach us that this system over here is always going to be darshin like the prat, whether you have two pratim with a klal in the middle or two klalim with a prat in the middle. It's the same thing. So, ma'ika beni beni. What, if anything, is the difference between these two methodologies? Klal uprat uklal and prat uklal uprat. There is a difference between them. So what is that difference? So Gemara tells us is a very important difference. Ika, the difference is the ilu tartin klali uprata. When you have a klal followed by a prat, followed by a klal, so the prat is the singular one in the middle, that is iika proto didomile afilu bechadzad mabinun. Then you don't have to have an identical to the prat item. If something is similar to the prat, it's only like the prat with one of the two, so then that would be adequate. Iika proto didomile afilu bechad, even if it only has one characteristic of the prat, so then that's enough to go and include it in the din. So the Mefarish says, even if we only had one thing, v'afilu mitzad echad, as Tosu says in Dibur Maschul Michtei Trei Klali Uprate, and he says, klum yei shchiluk b'nei, there really isn't much of a difference between the klal uprat uklal and the prat uklal uprat, ela iko train klali, when you have the two klalim with the prat in between, then we say amrinon, kol dudomile afilu b'chad tzad marvinon. Then even if it's like it only with one aspect, you can be marbe it, or train prati uklali, but if you have the two prats with the klal in between, the domile mishnei tzadim marvinon, only if it's identical to it in both of the characteristics, can you be marbe that thing too, but mitzad echad lo marbinon. You wouldn't be able to be marbe if it only was similar to it in one way. And Tosus explains, this makes sense. V'adin no sein, bebeis klalos, when you have two general statements, marvin and yoser, it's going to include more things than when you only have miklal echad, when you only have one. Tosus then gives a similar understanding from the Rif, a little bit different, but the same ultimate conclusion. And that's what the Rush says as well. The Rush says in Dibur Maskul, Trei klali, so he says, the mistoma, the trei klali, marvinon tfe michad klala. When you have two klalim, it's going to be more inclusive than when you only have one klal. Okay, so that's the difference between the two methodologies, klal uprat uklal, and prat uklal uprat. More still questions, it says, michte, let's take a look. If you have prat uklal, when you start off having a prat, and then you have a klal, Nasa klal mosif ala prat. So then the klal comes to be much more generalizable than the prat alone. The Israbi komili, and would come to include everything, or at least almost everything, except maybe the thing that the prat specifically said not to. So Israbi komili, except the prat. But wait a second. Umiyat viriba, the miyat ribui system, which starts off with the miyat, and then is ribui, is also marba hakol. Nami, riba hakol, the Israbi komili. So what difference is there between a prat and a klal and a ribui following a miut? Aren't they both the same exact thing? They both start up with something that says it's only this, and then they go to a very, very generalized statement. What difference does it make? It's prat and then a klal, or a miut and then a ribui. Aren't they both coming to the same thing? That riba hakol, or you're including everything, visrabi komile, whether it's a prat followed by a klal, or a miyut followed by a ribui, you should have the same thing. But that's not true. They're not the same thing. So the Gemara asks, ma'ika be miyut v'riba, if you have a miyut followed by a ribui, and then, as opposed to, if you have a prat followed by a klal, is there a difference between these two systems? Now, the Gemara says, yes, there is. The girsa that we have is somewhat problematic, because it doesn't go in accord with the way that we learn this throughout Shas. So I'm going to read it with the girsa. If you have a Gemara that has the Hagos with Siyunim, so it brings down that the more correct girsa can be found in the Rashba, the Rabbeinu Peretz, the Shita Mekubetzes, and the Keren Ora, that says that the Ribui Miut methodology throughout Shas is always a little bit more inclusive than the Klalu Prat methodology, which is a little bit less inclusive. So we'll read it over here with the way it's learned throughout Shas. Ika, there is a difference over here between these two methodologies when we have prat uklal and miut and ribui, in that dilu prat uklal Marbinon, only one of the two. Not both Alan and Lulavin, but just Lulavin and not Alan. So therefore, we'll read it this way. Ika, there is a difference between the two. The Ilu, Miet, the Ribui, that's the more general, Marbinon, Afilu, Alan, Vilulavin. By the Nazir, that would include in the prohibition for a Nazir to eat not only the grapes and the wine, but even the leaves, the Alan, and the Lulavin, and the stalks. However, when you just have, instead of reading Umiyat Viriboy, when you just have Prat Uklal, so then Lulavin, that would only include the shoots, the stalks, in. Yeah, that would include them. However, the leaves would not be included in this din Olin Lo. So in this way, we continue the way we have throughout Shas, that the Ribui Miyot is a more generalizable thing, and the Prat Uklal is a slightly less generalizable thing. And therefore, the way to read this, according to all of these opinions is that I mentioned, you can see in the Hagos Vitziyunim, so he brings down that the Ribui and Miyot methodology includes Alan Vilulavin, and the Prat Uklal only includes the Lulavin, but doesn't include the Alan. Okay, that's the exact opposite of the Girsa that we have over here, so there are ways to learn it, like the Girsa that we have over here, that this is an exception to the general rule, but I thought it was easier to learn it with the correction that the Hagos Vitziyunim brings down from all these other Shitos that says, let's keep this consistent with the rest of Shas. Now, we're at the two dots. The Shir tomorrow, as I said, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph is relatively short, and it's all one sugya, so we'll stop over here, a short Shir today, and people get a chance to chaz it over. With this, we conclude today's Shir.